public hearing on House Bill 2208 relating to fees for using state parks.
2208A would direct the Oregon Parks and Recreation Commission to waive user fee charges for the use of state parks for those people that operate a foster home when they are accompanied by foster children to the park. It also would waive user fees for disabled veterans and persons on leave from active military duty on Memorial Day, Independence Day, and Veterans Day. And the parks already do waive user fees for foster families. The fiscal part of this bill is related to the number of disabled veterans and those on active military duty. And based on that, the parks has estimated a revenue loss of $54,957 in the first biennium. It goes up a little bit in the second biennium because we add a couple of extra days.
Yes. Okay, questions? Representative Johnson?
A couple of questions. And I don't know whether to direct these to staff or to Mr. Carrier, and I would await guidance from the chair on which was the best way to proceed. But two things immediately occur to me. The first one is, where does it end in terms of very compelling cases that should come into the park system for free? Representative Morgan and I were thinking exactly the same way. Dad's on Father's Day, Mom's on Mother's Day.
Seniors on Senior Day.
Legislators on Sunny Die Day.
There you go.
Okay. Mr. Chair, for the record, Mike Carrier, Director of Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, that's an excellent question, and it's a question that we deal with all of the time. I want to add a little bit of background to the bill. There are a number of reasons that the department historically has waived or reduced fees on a case-by-case basis, and in fact had done it by administrative rule. This bill originated from my desire to tighten up the department's authority basis for making certain kinds of concessions like that. And the bill started out as simply a request for clarification that in addition to foster families, that the department by administrative rule through commission action could decide when such waivers or reductions or under what circumstances and to what groups they would be granted. Our philosophy is generally that we only offer waivers or discounts when groups are providing some service to the park that we think the value of which far exceeds what they would have had to pay. Scout groups doing volunteer work, or an Audubon group, or some other organization. And we have a large volunteer contingent that supports our parks, and we waive fees for those that volunteer. The reason that we have asked in the amended bill to include disabled veterans and active duty military personnel home on leave is because over 6 months ago, Representative Butler had the courtesy to call me one day and say, I'm going to be introducing a bill to grant free park use to disabled veterans, and I wanted to let you know. And when he did introduce the bill, it began to cause me concern about this very question, when will it stop? Because there are so many other groups that feel that they have an entitlement to some reduction, including senior citizens. And so I worked with Representative Butler to craft an amendment, which is very acceptable to him, that we do this as a special honorific approach for disabled veterans and active duty military personnel home on leave, just for those three holidays, again, as an honorific thing, rather than as an entitlement. And that's the distinction I make, is that this particular group singled out in this amendment, veterans and active duty military personnel, are being honored on those 3 days, and we would like to participate in that recognition, but it is not considered an entitlement to them as so many other groups think that they deserve. The other part of the bill that may not be clear what we're seeking is that subsection 2, adopting rules that assess reasonable charges, including waivers, reductions, and exemptions, is in fact designed to ensure that we have the authority. The commission can establish categories or groups or circumstances under which we would grant waivers and reductions in the future to other groups. And I think that it's just an issue, it should be an issue of commission policy and decision making over time rather than director's fiat.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. By what authority does the entrance fees for certain parks get established? And I know that, you know, you have those little envelopes that you're supposed to put in the slots and stuff. So how does that process work?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, the statute does now provide for the commission to adopt rules to establish reasonable fees and charges for park use and for accommodations in parks. So there's already a statutory basis for doing that. And then we do, by rules, by administrative rules, designate which parks those fees apply to, just as we designate what the amount of camping fees will be at various parks.
Thank you. So what this then does is allow the ability to do fee reductions, waivers, and exemptions. Is that what the effect of paragraph 2 is?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, yes, that would be the effect, is to ensure that that in the rules that we presently have in place and the practices that we've been doing for a number of years are, in fact, guided by statute.
Senator Dukes.
What kind of proper identification does a disabled veteran or someone who is on active duty status have that somebody manning the booth would recognize?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, this particular phraseology I've lifted from my days of working in Fish and Wildlife when we were granting the same privileges to active duty military personnel home on leave who were granted free hunting privileges or free fishing privileges. It's my intent to, as we adopt rules for this part, to make it as easy as possible for the beneficiary to produce the identification and as easy as possible for staff to make that confirmation. And what we envision is if someone is carrying the disabled veteran license plate on their vehicle, that's sufficient. They don't happen to have that license plate. If they got some other identification that shows them as a disabled veteran, they can produce that, and we would accept it. And with active duty military personnel, they're required to carry their military ID and leave papers with them at all times, and we would simply accept their proof of their leave papers as sufficient identification.
Okay, then, which definition of disabled veteran are you using here? Is it someone who was disabled while they were in the military as a result of some wartime action or non-wartime action, but, you know, while they were on duty, did not a bar fight later, but, you know, while they were, or someone who was a veteran who later became disabled and they
Mr.
can't
Chair, Senator
that.
Dukes, this is an issue of great sensitivity to veterans.
Yes, it is.
And it is our intent to follow the same standard that the State Department of Transportation follows defining disabled veterans for the purpose of issuing the special license plate. We've talked with the Department of Veterans Affairs about this and have coordinated with them on how to approach this. We've also talked with an individual named Mac McDonald, who is here frequently, you may have met, who represents disabled veterans and has been a strong supporter of this concept. But it is our intent to use the same standard that ODOT uses with regard to issuance of plates.
Just curious as to what the person's going to have. I mean, just the sort of the practical application of this means that you've got somebody there at a booth who needs to know. And so as not to hold up the lines on Memorial Day, needs to know fairly soon, quickly. And maybe there, all of those papers are there. I'm just envisioning somebody standing there going through active duty papers trying to figure out what on earth they are because most people have never seen them.
Great, great. Mr. Carrier, when you have the authority to allow discounts, is that also for seasonal discounts? In other words, could you to attract more usage in the wintertime, does this give you authority to change your rates?
Mr. Chair, I believe that this would ensure that we have the authority to do what we in fact have done, which is to offer a reduced rate for camping during the winter season to encourage more use and to better distribute the use through the year to meet demand. Yes, we have been exercising that authority. We think that the current statute with regard to establishing those fees does provide for variable fees, which is the way we've approached it, but this would certainly ensure that if we did a temporary or a seasonal reduction, that we have that authority.
Representative Johnson and then Morgan.
I must be missing something, and I apologize for making you do this in a remedial way, but this is a bill that allows you to do these particular classes of people. Contrast that with your current rule writing policy now. Why is this necessary if the commission has been making exemption by rule?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, excellent question. There are two kinds of public employees. There are those who feel that they ought to be able to do anything they can, provided there's not a prohibition. And then there are those who believe that they should only do what the law specifically authorizes them to do. And I think I know which you would prefer to work with. And I've been concerned when
I ran an agency for a while.
But I've been concerned in reviewing the statutes for my department because they've been, pardon the expression, cobbled together over the decades, as a lot of statute is, that there was no clear authority that with regard to waiving or reducing fees that the department had that authority. And the reason I'm concerned about this is because the legislature has chosen to make a specific exemption for foster families. And I could argue, I'm not an attorney, and I'm not trying to be an attorney, but I think I could argue based on my experience in dealing with statute that what that expresses is that the legislature has reserved the right to determine what the department's authority is in this regard and has not granted a liberal authority to the department. In fact, it's a restrictive authority. And so what I'm asking for here is a clear authority that other waivers or reductions that the commission chooses to make by rule is, in fact, within its scope of authority.
So follow up, Mr. Chair, just to put a finer point on this, then if this bill passes, this would be your universe of exemptions?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, the answer to that is no. What I'm saying is that what this would express is a clear direction from the legislature to grant waivers and reductions, waivers for foster families and for veterans and active duty military personnel under these circumstances, and for other groups by rule of the commission as the commission determines is appropriate, which would catch our volunteers, our campground hosts, and the other groups for which we occasionally.
Thank you.
Representative Morgan.
Two questions. How do you propose to deal with the exemption in parks where there's no person, where there's just you put a fee in a slot?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, that's an excellent question. And I haven't thought about that because it would apply to the day use fee, where we have a passive collection system, an honor system. And we will have to, I appreciate the question and do not have an answer for you today, but it is something we will certainly address to ensure that we're not citing people who are, in fact, exempt from the fee on that day. It would be, in this case, it would be, actually, as I think through this, we already have that experience with foster families because we have foster families who now use day use parks. And to be honest with you, I am not familiar with how we require them to identify their vehicles so that they're not cited. But we would use the same, whatever the methodology is, we would use the same methodology. And I would be happy to find out what we're doing now and follow up with you on that. But it would be the same methodology.
And then if I might also have another question that's unrelated to it. If this bill passes and the commission is given the ability to grant waivers and exemptions as they see fit, what's the check and balance to make sure that at some point down the line with another director and another commission, this doesn't have a heavy fiscal impact on the agency.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, thank you for that question. The first check would be certainly the fiduciary responsibility of that director and commission to ensure that they were not adopting rules that resulted in such a significant revenue loss that the department was going to run into financial troubles. The other check is the fact that we have these in an administrative rule, and the administrative rule amendment process is an open process done in both commission meeting and public hearings. But there has to be an underlying philosophical or institutional memory that transcends from director to director and commission to commission about this whole issue of how we approach park fees, and especially this issue of what people want as entitlements. And you know, the best example is senior citizen discounts. You know, we can, those were so popular in the 60s, and so many organizations have backed away from them because so much of the population is senior now. But I can't give you a guarantee, but the best way I can answer this is a number of years ago, Oregon actually charged a higher fee for non-residents in its state parks. And it created so much controversy.
I was going to ask you, much revenue generated?
Not much, because it actually resulted in Oregon being viewed by Californians, Washingtonians, and people from Idaho, whatever you call those folks, as viewing Oregon as very unfriendly to non-residents. And as a result, we actually lost a significant amount of revenue. And I don't remember the exact number, but it was a significant amount of revenue that we were losing. And the complaints about it from those folks were so high that the legislature intervened and adopted a bill ordering the department to rescind that and level the playing field for residents and non-residents. So if there's any institutional memory, if there's one in which we recognize that when we take actions that cause us to have the problem elevated to your level, that's undesirable. And I would say that, you know, if there are two things that would guide a commissioner or director, assuming they're reasonable people, one is protecting the fiduciary responsibility and assuring that there aren't claims of inequity or unfairness in the application of those fees to the degree that those claims would then be elevated to the legislature to have to deal with. Any good department ought to avoid both of those.
Representative Mark.
Just a thought, Mr. Chair. The one of oversight is the issue that bothers me the most. I think that the mechanical stuff could be worked out, and, you know, given that nothing ever starts out with unfolding exactly the way anybody envisions, but I'm sure there are ways to work around the ID issues and the issues of the parks where there's no attendant there to make the judgment. But the oversight issue, you know, we have had previous directors who haven't run the department to the same kind of quality criteria that the current director runs the department to. And I would be interested in pursuing a path where, when we give agencies have the ability to raise fees in the interim, but when they do it, they have to come to the next session of the legislature and have that ratified. I'm wondering if there's some kind of a parallel process that could be applied here, just so that there is a level of oversight, legislative oversight, with an eye to keeping the fiscal part of this in a reasonable range.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Staff or Mr. Carey, or do you have any idea on that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, I believe the statute is 280. I would need to go back and look, but I know exactly the language you're talking about, and in fact reviewed it as we're preparing this legislation. And I'd like to go back and look at that and see how broad that requirement is, because I just want to ensure that there isn't already some direction from the legislature in there regarding what an agency reports to the director of DAS in the off years or to the legislature in the years that you're in session that would already include this. And I'd be happy to check and see if that...
The concern I have stems from the fact that right now the agency is in, the Measure 66 funding stream is really an important piece, but there's a point in time when all of that is going to either have to be reauthorized or it's going away. And I just think from a fiscal prudence point of view, knowing that there's that point in time where the bullet is either going to have to be bitten, and I know that the agency is moving in that direction, but I would be much more comfortable with giving statutory authority to the agency to exempt if there was some kind of legislative oversight of it.
Are you suggesting an amendment?
Well, I don't even know if it's possible to do.
I have a, and I don't know if this plays in, but I do have a concern sometimes that we, as legislators, get too involved. And in this case, we know we have a review at least minimum every other year during session, where we can have a review and a report. As I've said before on some of the things we've required on our Ways and Means Committee, we're asking for a lot of detail, a lot of information. But I think we need to be careful that we don't so overburden the departments that it is counterproductive. And I think the way...
I knew this was going to happen.
We got some advice coming
here. Excuse you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm coming in to respond to one of your questions about whether or not you can amend this bill. As long as you have the agreement of the chairs of the committees and the substantive committees for an amendment, we can amend it down here in Ways and Means. On the issue of oversight, I didn't catch all of your discussion about that. So you wanted to have some legislative oversight?
The thought that I had is that we give agencies they do have the authority to raise their fees in the interim, but they are required then to come to the next session and have that ratified.
Right.
And I'm wondering if there is a parallel process to that that could be adapted to the waiving of fees.
Not in current law. But that doesn't mean that you couldn't discuss something like that. And that's a bigger policy issue that would have to be discussed probably in a policy committee. In this particular instance, you could attach something if we can get the agreement of the other committee chairs that would provide that.
Is it true that this bill will go to a committee in the Senate at least?
It doesn't have to. We could recommend that it be referred to a policy committee. Once it comes down here to Ways and Means and the Joint Committee, it's assumed that the Senate side has gotten a chance to look at it because it's a joint committee, but it doesn't have to go to a policy committee, but we can refer it to a policy committee if we want to.
Or we can note it to the director and have and try to clear this up next session.
Mr. Chair, may I respond to that? Because I'd like to clarify for the committee that with the exception of the disabled veterans and active duty military personnel, it is not our intent to create new categories of persons who are granted fee waivers or reductions. What we're seeking here is simply a clarification of authority that we've been exercising for many, many years, and to the degree that those waivers and reductions for groups like volunteers and park hosts have not resulted in a significant net negative revenue impact or have been controversial to you, then I would assure you that that's all we're seeking to do is clarify present practice.
Senator Dukes, I'm sorry.
I'm just mentioning to Susie, this seems like a fiscal amendment to me. It doesn't seem like a substantive amendment. We're talking about fees, and we raise and clearly have the authority now to lower fees, and so I would think we would have the authority to do an amendment if we wanted to review fees or lowering of fees without having to go through a substantive committee. I appreciate, having been a substantive committee chair at one time, I appreciate, you know, that sensitivity, but I, to me this is, the discussion is a fiscal discussion.
Ladies' wishes, Representative Johnson.
In trying to chart a middle ground through this, now that I've listened to the director's very thoughtful case for why he's doing what he's doing, I find myself leaning in the direction of waiting, going ahead and supporting this, and having some reporting mechanism back to see how it's working out, whether or not it's met the objectives that the director set out for his commission, whether or not there have been abuses at the fare box that they've been able to track, and to go with it at this point. It's going to be a little hard, I think, to look somebody in the eye and say we've voluntarily undertaken something that lowers fees, particularly in light of this morning's news. But I understand the reason why you're doing it, and I think it is part of a series of best business practices that you appear to be taking responsibility for in the agency. So in that respect, I'm comfortable moving forward.
You have another option, and that is to not pass it out today until you can research what you what it is that you really want there, and then bring it back with a resolution.
Well, we're in public hearing, and so I'm looking for direction.
Mr. Chair, I recognize that. What I'm very cautious about here is that we are about to set in statute what's been an informal policy within the agency. And it would seem to me that as prudent fiscal managers, we should have some kind of mechanism whereby if this thing runs amok, we can check it. And I'm not making the presumption that it will, but I'm just trying to be prudently looking at this policy being enacted. I mean, I am very willing to wait, and if it does become a problem, legislate at that point or do something at that point. But I do think that there is an issue here about, you know, we check on when they raise the fees. Certainly, it seems to follow that we should check when they lower the fees.
It seems to me that either way, to change it, it's going to take legislative action. Yes, what I'm trying to say is it's going to be political at some point anyway. Whether we have a reporting system or whether you find out at the legislative session every 2 years or whether we have a more formal way of reporting back. To fix, if we do have a concern, it's still going to take legislative action.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Johnson.
Hey, one more clarifying piece for me, Mr. Carrier, is I presume that there was some genesis of the need beyond your desire, I'm guessing, for best business practices that may have motivated this. Has this been an issue with the commission in the past? As a commission, have they struggled with what accommodation should be made fiscally for certain classes of folks?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I knew this would be a high-risk bill because it just seemed so simple to me at the time. to answer the representative's question, the answer is no, and in fact it was what appeared to me to be the rather casual and cavalier way that past commissions and directors have approached granting waivers and free use of parks that compelled me to ensure that there was clear statutory authority and to tighten it up by administrative rule and by statute. And that's kind of beyond the business practice thing. It was a concern, the very concern that Representative Morgan expressed about future directors just by fiat deciding that they were, you know, that it's okay to to give away campsites or park use somewhat indiscriminately. And we are literally bombarded daily with requests from everyone doing a fundraiser to give a free night and a yurt away for them to sell at auction, or for us to grant free use to every scout group that wants to come and use our park, whether they are going to do volunteer work or not. And it was out of concern to ensure that we have a body of general statutory authority and then a body of rules that clearly express under what circumstances we would exercise that discretion.
Your wishes. Do you want to go to work session?
Not particularly.
Do you want to close the public hearing and bring it back?
Mr. Chair.
And Dukes.
Let me make one, I hope, tactful suggestion. There isn't much of an audience today, but if we don't give some indication of where we think we're going to go, we just hold this over. I bet we have one the next time it comes up.
That what?
I bet we have a good audience the next time it comes up. They'll probably all be in uniform. So I think it would behoove us this time to, if we want to hold it, either to make the motion and go one way or another, and I'll go wherever you want to go with it, or at least to give some public indication of where we're going to go when we bring it back, so that people's comfort levels are out there and we don't have a whole bunch of folks in uniform who feel some need to show up and feel threatened.
Okay, where I am at with this is I would be very happy to pass this bill out if there was some legislative oversight on the fee back-offs.
Go into work session.
Ready to work session. Close the public hearing, open the work session on House Bill 2208.
Mr. Chair? I move that we have an amendment drafted to House Bill 2208 that would require that any fee waivers given as a result of action by the State Park Commission would come back for review by the appropriate legislative committee. Maybe Ways and Means. It could be at the next regular legislative session.
Would you be willing to put some language in there that said before they were implemented they would need to be reviewed by the legislature?
Whatever you want to put in. That just seems, I mean, that we don't do that with the other ones. With the increases, we don't do it.
Okay. So. But then if we don't want them to do it, we don't give them the authority to spend the money. This is kind of the reverse situation.
At worst, they could do a year and a half's worth of loss of revenue. I don't know. This agency has always struck me as one that's anxious to go out and buy the next parcel of land, and so I can't imagine they're going to do a lot of damage to their own little general fund, their own budget. But I'm reluctant, I guess, to tie their hands too much, but you can always come back and look at it, and then they know they'd have to get chewed out good if they...
Senator Johnson.
I agree with Senator Dukes. I think we veer into a level of micromanagement that may not be appropriate. I also can foresee us inviting trouble, asking the legislature to adjudicate whether one group is worthy, whether another group is not worthy. And I don't want to be in here trying to decide whether or not the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Abyssinian Cats deserves a day free in the park. That's something that you have a Parks Commission to deal with, and I don't think that that's an appropriate venue for the legislature to decide that stuff.
Okay.
I agree.
Senator Dukes, would you like to restate that as a motion, or did you?
Staff was here busy writing, so if staff
can
tell us what we got.
Can you restate the motion, please?
Senator Dukes proposes an amendment to require fee waivers as authorized by the commission to come back for review by the appropriate committee of the next legislative assembly.
You've heard the motion. Discussion of the motion. Any objection of the motion? Motion carries. Now we need a motion for the bill.
Move House Bill 2208 as amended to the floor.
Conceptually,
Well, but we amended it. Yeah, it's conceptual. Can we get away with that?
You're not yelling at me, so we must be okay.
Well, then,
because
you can't.
Yeah, because you can't actually approve the amendment.
The amendment will go to the full committee.
Yeah, they'll approve
the full. That's the full answer.
We're going to do that enough this year, right?
So okay. Do we have to bring
we
it back?
We do that with every budget.
So can we move it as
conceptually?
Oh, I have to.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And as I was saying, I move House Bill 2208 as amended to the full committee. They're right, and in Ways and Means.
As conceptually amended.
Yes, as conceptually.
Heard the motion. Or
to do pass.
You've heard the motion. Is there more discussion? Is there objection? Praise the Lord.
And you thought this was going to be simple.
Yeah, right. With that, we'll close the work session. If there's no more business to take care of, we'll adjourn the public.
We'll raise one that actually raises money.